Mighty Bad Dagobah.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Crean.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show as we get you through your hump day. Astros right now currently tied at one with the Rockies at Minute Maid Park in a getaway game. As they are batting in the bottom of the third in that game. We talked a little bit about the everything Astros and Rockets. Didn't get any Texans. Deshaun on the practice field yet again today. I don't want to keep saying this to you over and over again, but why? I don't need to see him again. Now, if there's truth to some of these rumors about they're looking for an Aaron Rodgers type settlement in which they can reconcile, he'll have a little bit more say-so on the roster, maybe take it to the extent of there's a way he can get out of his deal or he can work it out with the team, not necessarily to walk away scot-free, but if he wants out, they can trade him, they can work some things out. But look, those 22 cases aren't going away. There's no general manager, and I was at the gym today, and I overheard a couple of guys getting into a heated discussion about there's too many, you know, they got to trade him. You can't trade a guy that no general manager in the league right now is going to trade for. Because why would I give up? Everybody, well, Philadelphia. If I'm Philadelphia, and now the bizarre thing out of the NFL, if you heard today, because we heard that when Carson Wentz had his surgery, it was between 5 and 12 weeks. They were hoping for 5. Now they're saying it looks like he's on the path, along with Quentin Nelson. They're on the right path to be ready for game one of the regular season. And so maybe there's a chance Philly ends up with three number ones.
So 5 it is.
But are you going to do that now? And is it worth it to do that, knowing that there's still this black cloud over the whole situation, and all it takes is one case to go the wrong way? We knew 6 games was Zeke's punishment, and he didn't even get convicted. So you know that going in, just for where we are and what has been a massive distraction for the league, he's probably going to get 6 games regardless.
Zeke got exonerated.
And still got 6
still
games.
Still got 6 games. Thanks, Lisa Friel. That's why Jerry Jones was so freaking hell-bent, and literally it became Jerry Jones versus Roger Goodell for a while, because he had been getting told by the league, because the league had, you know, their lead investigator, who happened to be a woman, their lead investigator was saying that they're not recommending any suspension because the complainant admitted to lying, has been caught lying, admitted to trying to get others to lie for her, admitted that the injuries that she suffered that she claimed were from Ezekiel Elliott were actually from a fight she got into with another female in a parking lot while she was stalking Ezekiel Elliott. It was just lie after lie, but Lisa Friel told Roger Goodell, take that report, throw it in the garbage, because we need to be tough on this. And they hit Zeke with 6 games anyway.
So you know minimum 6 coming.
Minimum 6
But
coming.
All it takes now, you got 2 more women that's talking to HPD now, on top of the 22 original. So all it takes is one. And that 6 games probably gets more to a year.
And what happens if Lisa Friel and Roger Goodell decide, we've got 22 complainants, that's 22 violations of the personal conduct policy as opposed to just one big lumped in one. Then what? And while I can't say that isn't going to happen, because we don't have a precedent in the NFL for this many women, right? It was, you know, fiance, girlfriend, wife and child. There's never been this scale of complainants over sexual assault on any NFL player before. So realistically, we are going to set new precedent. We're going to break new ground. And, you know, Lisa Friel, who cut her teeth as the DA in Manhattan in the sex crimes unit, she wants to make her name.
Well, the fact that she's becoming more of a household name already, she's doing a good job.
It is very possible that they don't look at this as one violation, that they look at it as several and they stack them up. And if that's the case, he could easily miss a year. He might move more. So,
but my point being, you're the general manager of the Eagles. You're the general manager of any other team in this league. No matter how much every Texans fan says, he's got to go. We need to get rid of him. Trade him now. It takes two to tango, and ain't nobody dancing to that tune until they know all that other stuff's been cleared up. I hate to break it to Texans fans, and they get excited when they get the clickbait rumors from some of these outlets that are saying, hey, talks are progressing between the Texans or the Eagles. Why? Because they answered the phone this time instead of letting it go to voicemail? Is that progress? Because it's not going to happen.
No, and realistically, how could any team right now trade for him not knowing about the civil suits, not knowing about the criminal suits, and not knowing about the NFL's own investigation? The only way to trade him now is to trade him for like 5 cents on the dollar, and everything is, well, conditional. Like, if he plays this many games, you get this. If he also does this, then you get that. And you're getting into stuff that is so freaking complicated. I don't think Caserio has figured out how, that's just too tangled a web to weave. Of, all right, well, if he plays 3 games, and you give us a third round pick. And if he plays 6 games, then you give us a second round pick. And if he has more than 6 games, then you give us a first round pick. And if he plays 10 games, well, you give us 2 first round picks. Like, it's way too damn complicated. And not knowing how the NFL is going to punish him, let alone is he going to face criminal charges. It's bad enough the depositions for the civil stuff aren't coming until February, which is an incredibly long time.
That's 2022,
time.
Yep.
That they're going to wait all season long. That is an immensely long time just for depositions in a civil case. So everything in this situation is literally working against Deshaun Watson getting back on the field.
But I'm saying it's a lose-lose-lose. Yeah, until it's rectified, the Texans are stuck.
They're stuck.
Other teams are stuck because they're not going to trade for him. And he's stuck because, yeah, he's rectified the fact that he's not going to have to be fined. He's going to at least try to collect his salary. But the fact that everyone's losing even more by having him at practice every day, because now the national circus wants to, all they want to talk about is Deshaun. The local people, that's all they want to talk about is Deshaun. You know that between Cully and Caserio, they want to focus on this year's team. No matter what kind of a crap roster they have, they want to at least attack every single game and every day of practice, and they can't with him around. It makes no sense to me, whoever's making these decisions, how anybody with a smarter, cooler head can't come in and go, guys, let's just be honest. You're going to pay him. You're going to have to pay him. I know that sucks. The league's not going to get involved. But why do you want him around right now?
None of this has made sense from the beginning. Right. As soon as Deshaun announced, hey, I'm coming to camp, I'm showing up on Sunday to get my COVID test and get into the NFL's intake situation, they should have said, Deshaun, we appreciate it. Stay home. We don't want you here. And then they could have announced, they could have had one day of answering Deshaun questions instead of every day of answering Deshaun questions, because if they are not still so uncomfortable at answering anything when it comes to Deshaun Watson, it's embarrassing how poorly they handle Watson questions 5 months later.
That's my point. It's embarrassing. And you know what? First-time head coach, first-time general manager, they're not exactly knocking it out of the park with the media availabilities anyway. Take it off your plate. Send him home.
And the idea of, like, I see people who are like, oh, well, if he's on the roster and the NFL hasn't suspended him, then they should play him. Are you high?
Exactly.
He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to play. You want to play a guy that doesn't want to be here.
Plus, no, he could get hurt.
He
and then
is
your most
asset.
Valuable asset.
And if he gets hurt, the only people who get screwed are your Texans. The best thing they can do is protect their asset, sit on it. Basically, you're treating Deshaun Watson like he is a savings bond right now. And he is going to accrue interest from now through March. Right? Right now, he's only worth half, not even worth half, of what his face value is. You've got to sit on him all through the season, past the Super Bowl, to hopefully be able to get full value, full face value when you trade him in. This is how it is. Because right now, there are so many unknowns with him, you can't get anything for him. You got to sit on them and you got to wait. That is the only way you have any chance of getting something resembling a full fair price on Deshaun Watson. You can't trade him for peanuts after you
stop right there. You can't trade him. Right now, you cannot trade him. No one is trading for him.
And even if somebody came by and said, hey, we'll give you a second just to get him off your plate. You can't take an offer like that. You can't sell him like you did DeAndre Hopkins or J.D. Clowney. How badly they botched a Clowney deal. All right, we're gonna make you, we're gonna hit you with the tag, but instead of trading you before we have to, make a deal with you or you just play on 1 year, we'll wait till 3.5 weeks after that mark so that nobody else can sign you either. And now we have to sell you for 10 cents on the dollar. Yeah, that was brilliant. They can't botch it up. And Caserio is very astute to the fact they can't botch it up. And if that means he's got to sit on Deshaun, then he's going to sit on him. And this is, for whatever you like or don't like about Caserio, the fact that he got rid of a bunch of scrubs and then they brought in a whole bunch of other team scrubs to take their spots. Caserio is getting it right now. When it comes to, he's got to sit on Deshaun. There's no point in talking to anybody about Deshaun because you know you can't get value for him. So wait until you can.
So we'll continue to move on, but there's your Texans update for the day. Other than Charlie telling you Lonnie Johnson's going to wear number one, that was the most enthralling thing from practice. More Deshaun talk, more of him showing up, being visible on the practice field, but not doing a whole lot of anything, and he shouldn't be.
Yay.
Lots more to get to as we continue to press on hour number two of the program. If you guys want to jump on in, 713-780-3776. That's for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. It's Dell. It's Patrick. It's myself, Joel. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. A new era is about to begin.
Change is coming.
Monday, August 16th, we're writing the next chapter in Houston sports radio history.
Change coming.
This is what you call a paradigm shift.
New voices, new shows. Be there Monday, August 16th for this new chapter on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Change is coming. You best be ready.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
So a little other news and notes in your big three teams here in the city of Houston, Texas. David Culley, the head coach of your football team, says almost the entire Texans roster is going to be playing in preseason games because there are jobs to be earned. Well, no, Sherlock. I mean, you look at that roster, ain't nobody knocking your socks off. There's a reason why I'm so concerned about protecting the most valuable asset you have. And that's saying something with all the trouble he has off the field. But other than that, who is your next most valuable piece?
The best player on the team that does not wear number four.
Is it Laremy Tunsil?
He wears 78. Yeah, it's Laremy Tunsil. He is the next best player on the team.
It gets real dicey.
Maybe Brandon Cooks.
Maybe Brandon Cooks is one thing. I think that Reed's stock went down a lot last year.
Sure did.
I think that you've got the suspension of one more game left with Roby. Otherwise, there are teams out there that would like to have him play corner, although he had a little off-the-field issue or two at the end of last season as well. But I don't know that there's anybody else that you can come close to saying. It's like you used to have Watson and J.J. Watt, and you could go down the list and say, you had D-Hop and you had all these different guys. Now it's like this is another reason why I'm so concerned about just keep Deshaun away until the dust settles and you can find a way to find him to his next destination and get a big haul back. Hopefully.
You think about it, they blew it not just with JD and DeAndre, but they blew it with Will Fuller. They could have traded Will Fuller. And look, maybe you didn't get a one. Maybe you got a two. But if you could have traded Will Fuller and got a two last year, you didn't bring him back this year. He went on and got a PD suspension. It's not like you had him the whole second half anyway. But you could have got a second round pick, which would have been the first pick that you had this year. Instead, you sat on him. You didn't do anything and you got nothing. You could have traded J.J. Watt last year, and J.J. was ready to go to a contender, gave you, hey, I'm willing to move. And I would think you probably could have got a two for J.J. Watt, because in the middle of the season, when teams are looking for pass rush help, it's a premium. There's not a lot of pass rushers available at the trade deadline in the NFL. You might have been able to get a two for J.J. Watt. Instead, you got nothing.
But let's be honest, Pat. In that situation, there was a winky wink. They were so worried because they looked so bad across the board, and I think they kind of knew that they were going to look bad going forward in a lot of ways too, whether it be Easterby or if they knew anything about Deshaun or whatever was coming. They knew that their better days were behind them anyway, and I really truly believe there was a conversation that said, because they were so distraught at the thought of the PR backlash if they cut J.J. Watt at the end of the year. So it was coming to a crossroads anyway, and I think that there was a discussion that said, if you go out and say this was a mutual decision, we get it, it's not us just letting you go, then we won't try and hound a third-round pick or, like you said, a second-round pick from somebody else. We'll let you go where you want to go if you don't put it on us and push it to the point where we either trade you or we dump out on you and we get the bad guy tag.
J.J. was ready to get traded last year. He was ready to move.
I get that.
And when they didn't move him, he wasn't happy. And you could just look at him in the post game of every game from that point on. J.J. got increasingly salty with each game. The fact that they could not last year because, you know, the way that it was set up where it was, Romeo and the Easter Bunny and Cal, and the three of them scared to death because, well, we can't get embarrassed on another trade like we did on DeAndre Hopkins. Not having the confidence in any of each other to be able to work out a deal. Other teams didn't even know who to talk to. Well, do I talk to Easterby? Do I talk to Roman? Who exactly is my point person? Because they didn't have one. They didn't know what they were doing. And now you have a GM who's coming in. He's trying to do things his way. And a lot of that is the Bill Belichick way. And all right, well, we were really terrible last year. So let's clear out as much of the roster as we can. Bring in all new guys. We'll, quote, change the culture, because that's a football microcosm right there. They cleared out a bunch of scrubs. They brought in a bunch of other scrubs. And you know what? This team has – we were talking about, like, who are the best players on the team, right?
Yeah.
And if Brandon Cooks is your third best player – like, do we have a fourth best player?
I think Justin Reed is still considered what's one of their better young players because of the fact that what he has slipped up a little bit on is fixable. He's athletic. He's a good cover. He doesn't hit real hard, but he likes to try. I think that he's got potential. I think teams like him. I think he's got value.
I don't know that I'm saying he can't play. Just. Justin Reed did take a big step back.
I think Lindsey's got the chance this year to show that he belongs in this league for a couple more years and have some value.
I think Lindsey's a decent back.
I do too.
I don't think he's great, but I think he's solid. And he's better at catching the football than I think people think he is. But you still have to have somewhere to run. And if you're going to get hit behind the line every time you take a handoff, you're not going to get real far. Yeah, there's a big difference between running behind the Broncos offensive line and running behind the four parked cars and Laramie Tunsil. So I don't know how much he does. They have their, quote, unofficial depth chart out.
Yeah.
And they actually list two running backs, not running back fullback, but two running backs as starters and two receivers tight end.
Is it Johnson or Mark Ingram?
It's Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay.
And that's the smart way to go about this. But because David Johnson renegotiated his contract, David Johnson's going to make this team.
Oh, David Johnson's definitely making the team. He's the one guy they held over. And as long as he's healthy, I would expect Rex Burkhead to make the team because he's a proven guy who catches the ball out of the backfield. plus, you know, New England and everything New England must be gold. Wide receivers, Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, Nico Collins, sixth on the depth chart.
He'll get there. He's going to be good.
Pharaoh Brown, tight end one.
Oh, boy.
Your offensive line is Laremy Tunsil, Max Sharping, Justin Britt, Justin McCray, and Titus Howard.
Sharp, I think Sharping and Howard still have value.
I do, too. And I you're hoping that both of those guys, you know, I think their rookie seasons, they showed you they could play. Last year, they took a step back. You're hoping for them to take a step forward this year. Marcus Cannon was coming back from knee surgery, so I don't think he's up to speed yet. Charlie Heck seems like he's going to be the guy who's going to be the swing tackle. But that's essentially, you're probably looking at your starting five right there up until the point in time where Marcus Cannon is ready to play.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're at the midway point in the program. If you want to talk some Texans, join us. Otherwise, we've got other things to get to. Alex Bregman spoke before the game today. We've got those comments from him. Aside from the news out of the Colts camp in terms of their players and their availability for game one, they locked up their coach and their general manager for quite a while, so we can talk about that as well. And if there's other things on your mind you want to get off your chest, you can bring them to us as well and be willing to get them out into the program. Before we head to the break, I want to tell you about Fitz Roofing. Look, I've been telling you about them for quite a while. There's a lot of storm chasers out there and really shoddy roofers that want to get your money up front, and then they don't do a great job, and when you need them to finish it and do it the right way or come back, you can't get a hold of them. That's not how they do business at Fitz Roofing. They got the best ratings in the business. You can check it, I'm telling you, across the board on social media and otherwise. Better Business Bureau, Facebook Home Advisor. They got the best ratings, and that's what you want. On top of that, they use the best product. Starting with CertainTeed shingles for the roof, that's all you need because CertainTeed is the best. Only 1% of the roofers in the country get to be a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. That's exactly what Fitz Roofing is. And on top of that, more than anything else, their warranties are longer and better than your average roofer. And the process starts as easy as can be. You call them at 832-521-3001. You set up a free, no-obligation inspection. They come to you. They tell you what they can do. It costs you absolutely nothing. It could be a leaky roof for your business or your home or a whole new roof on either of the two. Otherwise, they do home repairs, they do fences in the yard, and so much more. Check them out at FITZRoofing.com to see all the services they offer and all the ways that they can help you. And then call them, like I said, when you're ready. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
I want to play, but what I got to do is make sure I'm healthy for my teammates and for the long haul.
So how in the world do you know when it's right?
I'll know. It'll be right soon. I gotta play. I gotta get volume. I gotta run fast.
That was your hopefully soon to be third baseman Alex Bregman in the dugout today, because of course he can't be with the Sugarland Skeeters. He was about to exceed the amount of time, I think it's 20 days, that he's allowed to spend with the minor league club on a rehab assignment. So now he has to wait, I believe, 5 days before he can go back. So by the end of the week, as the team gets ready to leave town again, I would assume that he's probably going to stay here, work with some of the training staff, and then rejoin the Skeeters by the weekend. So at least hearing from him, after hearing rumors, innuendo, and Dusty Baker say it could be another 10 days, you hope that what he said resonated in your head as sooner rather than later. But the team's on the road again now, so probably wait it out a little bit longer. He'll probably have a few full games under his belt with the Skeeters, and then, assuming no setbacks, they'll anticipate when they can get him back there, because they need him. And let's be honest, we've talked about enough about the different ways that they've had Skeeters players on the roster filling voids. They've treaded water as long as they can tread water. But if this team is truly going to reach its full potential in the postseason and down the stretch, Alex Bregman's got to be the third baseman.
No doubt. And look, we know Alex Bregman. When Alex Bregman is playing the way he's capable, he is an MVP-level bat. He is probably the most all-around bat that they have in that he hits for average, he hits for power, he is on base. He is the guy who would probably hit the most combined doubles, home runs.
Aside from home runs, it's Brantley and him in a two-horse race.
And that guy, it was a couple of years ago where he was, Mike Trout won the MVP and played 120 games.
Bryce was what, top five?
Yeah, and I think it was top three. And Bregman, that's the kind of player that Alex Bregman can be. Plus, you add in the fact he's such a good defensive player at third base as well. He is, when he is playing like the guy we know him to be, with the chip on his shoulder, and that brash, people look at it as arrogance. Look, I don't care he's arrogant. I care that he's hitting 300 and banging 35 bombs. That's what I want to see. I want to see Alex Bregman talking crap. I want to see Alex Bregman, giving somebody the side eye or, screaming in the dugout. He's at his best when he does that.
Not only that, Pat, but take it another step. You lost your clear-cut clubhouse dugout leader and your igniter when you lost George Springer. Altuve's not that guy. Now, short-term, Correa did it last year in the playoffs. You don't know how long he's going to be here. But he has kind of tried to take that leadership role on. But it's lacking a little bit because it used to be strength in numbers. Springer would get it going. Springer, whether it would be with emotions in the dugout or on the field.
Club Astros
or in the clubhouse
with
Club Astros. And then right behind him would be Bregman, would be Correa, would be guys that were not necessarily rah-rah all the time, but they knew when, they knew how, and they did what they were supposed to do. Altuve's not that guy. So now with Bregman out, all you have is Correa. And you may have him short term in terms of the future of this club. That's why Bregman is so important with the intangibles as much as everything that you said.
And, when the whole thing with MLB's punishment on the Astros broke, the one guy that you really thought would embrace the black hat was Alex Bregman. He was number one on the list. Guy who would put the black hat on, throw up the double rods, bleep everybody. And he was exactly the opposite of what we all thought. Alex Bregman suddenly got mousy. Alex Bregman suddenly got quiet. He wasn't talking. He wasn't running his mouth. He wasn't, with all the exuberance in the dugout. He was low key. That's not Alex Bregman.
No.
And, for a guy who has, in his short career, kind of established himself as a second-half player, to be able to get him back and have him, if he performs the way he usually does in the second half of a season where he seems to kick it up a notch, they're already the best offense in baseball this year. They've scored the most runs. They really haven't had the full lineup all year.
No, they haven't. But it also begs the question, how dinged up must he have been to finally get it to this point before it really came to a head? Because he's been dealing with leg issues in particular, for almost a year now.
And look, you could tell when he was playing earlier in the year, he wasn't going full throttle. Mm-hmm. And, he would deliberately try to ease up in certain spots. And then, you suffer this quad injury. And then after that, you have the hamstring injury. You working in basketball for so long, you never see guys in the NBA get hammy injuries because they're always running forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards.
Unless you're Harden.
In baseball, we see a lot of hammy injuries because guys don't run backwards that much.
No, but it's also the quick stop, the quick twitch, the quick start, the quick stop. You go from a standstill to a sprint. In the outfield, the same thing. And you're right, it's also a change of direction, but it's that quick twitch to jump to that first or second movement, or when you really put the pedal down, that's different. That you really, in all my years playing baseball, that's why you had a lot more hammy.
I mean, think about how many guys get hurt first step out of the box, right? You just took a full swing, and now you're lunging first step, and as soon as you take that first step, you feel it.
Yep.
Or you start to head down the line, the guy boots the ball. Now all of a sudden you try to slam it into third gear. Pop. You see that all the time.
Or you're coasting into a base. The outfielder juggles it. All of a sudden your base coach is telling you,
go, come on, go.
And you got to pop it back in gear. And that's when these things happen. Now, Harden also was fat when he got his hamstring issues, and he dealt with them the rest of the year. But, I mean, that's you're right. Traditionally, baseball has a lot of that.
And you would think at this point, especially with all the analytics and the advanced mathematics and all that, they would figure out, okay, why do we get hammy and quad injuries and other guys don't? Well, what do they do that we don't do? Especially with a guy like Bregman, who now has, you know, had these leg injuries. Now, this is the second year in a row he's had these leg injuries. Shouldn't you be changing his routine? Shouldn't the team be changing how they train him to strengthen, you know, those muscles, to work on his legs, so he's not looking at suffering these injuries again? It's not like, all right, well, Diaz got hurt. Diaz got hit by a fastball in the hand.
Yeah.
There's nothing he could do about that.
Right.
You know, if you foul a ball off your foot and you break your foot, it's a freaky injury. There's nothing you can really do about that. If you've got consistent, you know, muscle injuries to your legs, there's a lot of things you can do to change the way you train to do that. So I hope they're changing Alex Bregman's routine, because he's a middle of the order key bat that changes the lineup. When he's going, you know, the way that you expect him to go, he changes the lineup in a very dynamic way.
And you think about what they've been able to do with him out this length of time. It shows you, and other guys as well, especially even with Yuli, but it shows you the level of ability offensively and how potent this offense is. So that's why I'm saying there's no reason to think that this team can't win a World Series if healthy. But the if is so big right now, because you're not just talking about Bregman. Now you're worried about when Yuli's coming back. And because of the Bregman setbacks, is he really going to be on the retro 10? Is he going to be back by this weekend? You hope. But then you start worrying about Urquidy. And you start, you know, the injuries are stacking up to where you're starting to have more and more concerns. That's the thing, too, that factors in, that when you have had health all year, it's easier to deal with. Like the White Sox, when Rodon goes down, it's one thing. It sucks. But at the same time, they've had so much prosperity all season by staying healthy for the with their pitching staff, especially. It's a different scenario. So they've got to get healthy. They got time to do it. They need to get healthy now. But, you know, then you really have a luxury, because when you can use your Swiss Army knife in Aledmys Diaz, and you don't have to play him third base, first base, he can play some outfield. I've said all along, that's why Chaz is going to be, this is it. He's your center fielder now. That's it. Tucker's your right fielder. Brantley with another hit just a minute ago. They still lead 2-1 with a runner on second and one out. But Uncle Mike is Uncle Mike. He's your left fielder. Jordan is, I saw your numbers, but Jordan, from a defensive perspective, needs to be your designated hitter. But Aledmys Diaz then becomes the guy, like Marwin Gonzalez, I keep saying, where Dusty can use him whenever, however he wants, and it's a huge advantage for the Astros.
Not only that, but, you know, Diaz, as you mentioned, he can also play left field if you got to give Brantley a break. But when you have a guy who can come off your bench with the legit power that Aledmys Diaz has, right?
Dude, he's hitting .327 with 13 ribbies in 13 games since he came off the disabled list. You think he's valuable?
And he's 2-for-2 with a pair of knocks today, a pair of ribs today. So you look at, I mean, Diaz is a legit hitter. He's hitting .294 overall, and he's got an OPS over 800. When you get into late games, big games, and it's, you know, bottom eight, and you're down a run with two guys on, and you're coming to the bottom of the order, and here's Maldonado coming to the plate, and you could send up Aledmys Diaz.
Mm-hmm. That is a
game-changing moment where I can send up a legit power bat versus a guy who's hitting 180.
Think about the Minnesota game when you had the choice between Garcia and Jason Castro, or sticking with what you had. Dusty's like, that's not a real choice for me to pinch hit.
No, there isn't. And that was why they had to make the roster moves with Yuli, because they were just down too many guys.
Yep.
And the fact that, I mean, here's, when you've got guys on your bench that you know can't hit,
And boy, do they have him.
What is the purpose of that play? If he just absolutely cannot hit at the majors, and Rubel Garcia can't hit at the major league level, there's no point in having that guy. I have him as a defensive replacement. I have him as a pinch runner. Well, you could do that in September.
Well, you got the guy from the A's to do all that.
But you don't need to do that, in July and August to have a guy who just can't give you anything with the bat.
Well, your boy's up right now with a chance to do some more damage. Aledmys Diaz, 2-for-2. He's got a 2-and-2 count. Runner on second, 2 outs. As he gets a chance to possibly add to the Astros' lead. We're going to take a quick break. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about New Breaks. Look, I think New Breaks is just a phenomenal new idea that's out there that people need to capitalize on because time is money. And no one wants to go to a brake shop and sit around for a couple hours at the mercy of a mechanic to try and fix your brakes and get it right. And you just don't want to blow that much time. And, yeah, you got phones and you can try and do a makeshift office, but why not stay in your office and have them come to you? That's what they did here a couple weeks ago. We were doing a show. They came here in less than 40 minutes. They fixed my brakes. It was painless. They did a phenomenal job. And the thing is, they're certified technicians, and all they do is brakes. They're not going to upsell you. They're not going to try and tell you your car needs this and that as well. And their competitive prices are right there with all the brake shops in town. So therefore, you're not going to get screwed over paying a high premium to have the people come to you. New Brakes does what they do, and the prices are right where you need them to be. They can come to your house. They can come to your work. They can do it wherever you want them to do it, and they do fantastic work. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You're going to save 10%. So I encourage you right now to go to nubrakes.com. That's newbrakes.com. Set up your appointment. You can do what so many listeners here at ESPN 97.5 have done and find the same results, the fantastic work, and the satisfaction that you get that's guaranteed when you get behind the wheel. Check them out today. It's newbrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5.
The change is coming.
Starting Monday, August 16th, change is on the way. On ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Other news of the day, as you're just joining us, aside from the Astros with a 2-1 lead on the Rockies, Texans practicing again today with Deshaun Watson as they prepare for a trip to Lambeau Field to take on the Packers. Without Aaron Rodgers this weekend on Saturday. And the Rockets with another summer league win in which Jalen Green, again, impressed, but he wasn't the only one, as the baby diaper-wearing Rockets did what they had to do to get everybody a little bit more hope in Red Nation. So that's some of the local stories. We mentioned some of the national stories. Quentin Nelson as well as Carson Wentz. We're on that 5 to 12 week timetable after having foot surgeries. Now, sources are saying Wentz and Nelson are trending to play week 1 for the Colts. Good news if you're an Eagles fan to get that draft picked up with the amount of time that Wentz has to take snaps and be on the field. So there's that. And bad news if you're a Texan fan, not like you're going to win the division anyway. But besides the Titans, it looks like the Colts, if they have Wentz, will be right there as well. Urban Meyer says they're in win now mode. Good luck with that.
Win against the Texans mode, maybe.
Yeah. Otherwise, probably not so much from the perspective there. And then some college football and college news. Baylor punished, but not for the sexual assault allegations, as the football program nor Art Briles did not violate any rules by their lack of ability to act on anything. So there's that.
Can we just disband the NCAA already?
They're awful.
They are completely freaking useless. The NCAA, who in the past has suspended athletes for washing their car with a hose at their dormitory, as opposed to going and paying $20 for a car wash, made the student athlete pay $38 for the privilege of using the hose to wash their car.
That you get hosed.
Who, if you... As a student athlete, if somebody takes you out for lunch, you are ineligible. The NCAA today said, nah, rape culture is okay. It's perfectly fine. Oh, you had an entire football team that for, 8 years not only would commit mass sexual assault all over the place, but your head coach would hide it and intimidate the women and threaten to have them thrown out of school, and they bury the evidence. The NCAA said, this is okay. What the hell do we need the NCAA for at this point? Now that we have NIL, what exactly is the purpose of the NCAA? Disband this trash organization. Let the conferences police themselves, because even the conferences are better at it than the NCAA is, and move the hell on. You don't need the NCAA to have the college football playoff. You don't need the NCAA to have the college basketball tournament. You don't actually need the NCAA for anything. Disband that. I almost said a bad word. Disband that trash now.
There's no doubt that they, and again, the irony in all of this is, so Briles and the football department gets off on the violations that were really, really, really problematic and disturbing. But there were other violations related to impermissible benefits and improper recruiting practices, Pat, involving a female hostess group. You think that they were just handing out cupcakes?
Well, considering we have Kendall Briles, we've got all kinds of evidence. Kendall Briles was, hey, do you like pretty white girls to the athletes when they were coming onto campus? We know what the hell was going on there. The NCAA just doesn't care.
And they don't have consistency. They don't look at past precedents. They don't get anything right whenever they get involved with anything that we've seen. And you're right. Now that we have the NIL and all of that, which was their biggest inability to get something done and handle correctly, they're more of a pain in the ass than anything else. So Baylor gets 4 years probation and other recruiting restrictions against the program. The NCAA ban does not keep the Bears from playing in the postseason this upcoming season. Didn't take away any scholarships. An unnamed former assistant director of football operations who failed to cooperate in the investigation was given a 5-year show cause order. So there's that. Then you mentioned the NIL. Because of that, I mentioned to you this. We talked about how interesting it was that De'Aaron King got a deal with the Florida Panthers hockey team as part of his NIL agreements. Now it looks like Dr. Pepper has gone straight to Clemson quarterback, and watch me hack this name up, DJ Uiagalelei.
Sure. Roll right? it.
DJ is going to be part of the Fansville ad campaign that we've all grown to tolerate and or love as part of college football season. However, there's still no agreement between the universities and their players when they sign these NIL deals. So he can't wear the Clemson gear, but he's going to be in the commercials.
Yeah, and for considering the head coach at Clemson has gone on record. Well, if college players, if they get paid, I'm not going to be able to coach college football anymore. I'm going to have to go do something else. Well, here's your starting quarterback about to get paid over there. And how are we feeling about this?
The funny thing I ask you about this, though, is he doesn't have the long, wavy locks of a Trevor Lawrence. Early on in the Fanville commercials, anybody going to know who he is?
Are they going to have to identify him? And can they even say Clemson quarterback? Because clearly, you know, they don't have the deal there with Clemson. So, you know, is that Dabo saying, hey, I don't want to have an agreement because of his long record of college kids shouldn't get paid, even though he makes $10 million a year. College kids shouldn't get paid. The whole thing with Art Briles, just that disgusts me to no end. I mean, you have rape culture, you have sexual assault, you have covering, you have intimidation of witnesses, and you have like just disregarding attitude, can't meet basic expectations, violating the law, suppressing evidence. This is lack of institutional control at its very definition. NCAA, nothing to see here. Please disperse.
That's just a bad deal, man.
If you're the parent of a woman, you're the parent of a young woman going to college.
It wasn't like it's just one or two. allegations.
It was 8 years.
Yeah, and they just kept piling up.
It's absolutely disgusting. There is, and I know that Briles is gone, and that entire, like, you know, management group is gone. Ken Starr is gone. They're all gone. How can you look at past experiences, whether it's Baylor, whether it's Michigan State, you know, any of these schools where, you know, this kind of sexual assault culture has gone on?
Not just this kind, but Penn State.
And say, I am the parent of a young woman going to college, and I'm okay sending my kid to that school. No frickin' way. And the attorney for Art Briles to come out and say, oh, well, he's exonerated now. He can go out and coach anywhere he wants. Any school that hires Art Briles, that conference should basically excommunicate that school on the spot.
Is it just Art? Because Kendall, who always says he didn't know and didn't have anything to do with it either, he had a job at U of H. He's got a job now, right?
Which was disgraceful.
Where do you go from there? Central Florida?
It continues to be. He was coaching for Lane Kiffin, and then he was coaching here for Major. The fact that anybody would take Kendall Briles is freaking disgusting. But, I mean, can we call up what's the high school here in Texas that hired Art Briles?
Yeah.
Can we get that school on the phone? Because every parent of a female student in that school has questions. It is inconceivable to me the NCAA had this layup. You could have hammered them with the hammer of Thor, and no one would have batted an eye because holy hell do they deserve it. And you sat there with your hands in your pockets and said, well, we can't really do anything.
Mount Vernon High School, Mount Vernon, Texas, Briles was the head coach.
Burn every single one of them to the ground. The whole damn NCAA, burn it.
Kendall Briles went, thank you, Dell. Kendall Briles went to Florida State, then Florida Atlantic, and at Arkansas now. So he still is getting employment.
Burn it all.
Crazy. So there's a little bit from your NCAA as we get you news of the day. And no shock here, Alabama overwhelmingly number one in the preseason college football poll. If you're interested in the poll itself, well, in more ways than one, Patrick, depending on what stage you're on. As we look at the poll total, Alabama number one, Clemson number two, Oklahoma three, Ohio State and Georgia round out the top five. A&M is six, if you're interested. I'm interested at number 15, which would be Wisconsin. Dell's interested at number 16, which would be the U. Patrick Creighton, is there any teams that interest you? LSU's 13. So you go top five, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Georgia. Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Iowa State, North Carolina, Cincinnati round out your top 10. Then Florida, Oregon, LSU, USC, Wisconsin, Miami, Indiana, Iowa, and Texas at 19, Penn State at 20.
You know, I guess I'm interested in Oklahoma. I want to see what they got. I'm interested in A&M because they're the local school. Might be about it.
Okay. Well, it's early. You got a chance. And Dell's got his Hurricanes if you want to jump on board. All right, we got to get to a break. We're getting late. Got to get into the final hour of the program. So we'll step away for a quick one. Come back and get you a whole lot more in the final hour of the program. It's Dell. It's Pat. It's myself, Joel. We'll take you through the final hour all the way till 4 o'clock on the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.